Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today I have a wonderful opportunity. I get to interview a person, a woman that has meant so much to me in my life, in her books. I've read her books many times over and over. Her name is Dr. Rebecca Brown. Here she is, Dr. Rebecca Brown. Hi, Doctor. How are you today?
Good morning, Jim. I am just fine.
Great.
And glad to have the opportunity to talk with you a little bit today.
Great. Hollywood and the news media and various ministries have made deliverance a bizarre experience. Doctor, you've worked in this for now many years, over 31 years. In all your experience, can you tell us what is deliverance?
Okay, your question is about deliverance. Well, just to put very simply, deliverance is the act of forcing a demon to get out of someone's life. In the scripture, there's many references to people that had demon spirits in their life, and the Bible calls them demons. In some places, they're called unclean spirits, and they go by many different names around the world, but those of us that are Christians, we refer to them as demons. Demons are spirits. They are not physical. They live and dwell in the spirit realm, and they are evil. They have chosen to rebel against God, and they are not in the service of the Creator God, Jesus Christ, at all. Now, they do get into people's lives, and they exert varying degrees of control. We have it in our mind when we hear demon-possessed, we think of someone that's totally insane and completely uncontrollable. But that's not true. Many times, demons will be active in someone's life to different levels. They control their behavior, sometimes very little, sometimes totally. And then that brings us to the point as to where are the demons? Are they inside the person's physical body, or where are they? Actually, I think that's something that's just not even worth discussing.
It's irrelevant.
Because it's irrelevant. Three dimensions, as in our physical world, does not exist in the spirit realm. It's totally different. So you can't say, well, this spirit is in this particular physical spot because there's no physical stuff in the spirit realm.
Okay.
So I prefer to say they're in someone's life. They're active in that person's life.
They're affecting their life.
Exactly.
Manipulating.
And to a certain extent, they're controlling their behaviors, their thoughts, and what they do. And this is what has to be dealt with, particularly people who are involved in witchcraft and in the various what we Christians call pagan religions, such as voodoo or Santeria or the Asian religions, Hinduism, Zen, Buddhism, all this. The priestcraft, the powerful people in all those religions deliberately invite spirits to come into them, into their lives, in order to give them power.
They don't look at them as being dangerous, maybe. They actually have a benign view of them.
Well, some do and some don't. And there again, we come to this whole mess of some people say, oh, I'm a white witch. I use my powers only for good. And others say, well, I'm into the black arts. And you'll hear that a lot, too. Meaning those people know the spirits that they're working with are evil, and that's fine with them because they believe that the more evil they are, the more power they have. The problem is, there's so many people snared into it thinking that there are good spirits, that they can use the power of good spirits and only do good things. What they don't understand is that all of these spirits that are being used, and the humans think they control them when they really do not, none of them are good. they are all in the service of Satan. None of them are in the service of Jesus Christ. And here's the big difference. Here's how you can tell the difference. What's the difference between someone that's using, quote, white witchcraft or good spirits?
What is the difference?
Okay, the difference is, and Jesus modeled it for us when he was here on earth. Jesus said, I do only those things which I see my Father in heaven doing. So clearly Jesus modeled for us, we are the servants, God is the master. So we have no control over spirit power ourselves, period, full stop, no control. The difference is people involved in witchcraft of any kind, whether they choose to call it white or black or whatever, their whole goal is to control the power and to use it when they want and how they want.
Okay.
We Christians have no control over spirit power whatsoever. We do only those things that our master commands us to do.
Okay, that's what Jesus then did. This is modeling after Jesus.
That's exactly right. And that's the big, big, big difference. It's just like I tell people, look, occultists see into the spirit realm most very frequently, and Christians sometimes see in the spirit realm. But the occultist, the person that's involved directly with spirits and in occultism and witchcraft and all of that, they can see and hear from the spirit realm whenever they want to. And frequently, they receive this kind of communication almost continually. Now, a Christian never has an experience in the spirit realm when they want to. In other words, it's not under our control.
Okay.
And it is not routine. It is not continually. And that's because God demands that we live by faith.
Mm.
And that's an important word because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, tells us that there is no sight in faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we do not see into the spirit realm except in brief glimpses, whereas the occultist sees and communicates with the spirit realm almost continually. That's a huge difference, and that's very important to understand and to think about.
But the world they see is filtered through demons, isn't it? It has a filter on it.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because, and that gets into the whole thing about how can people actually see into this invisible spirit realm. Well, that's because there's a part of each one of us that is spirit. Each one of us has a spirit. And but there's that fascinating scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 where it says that God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And one of the things that verse tells us that God's word does is sever between the soul and spirit. Well, when there is that severing between the soul and spirit, then we cannot receive any communication from the spirit realm at all. We can't see or hear or anything from the spirit realm. Now, when people get involved in witchcraft and the occult, the first thing that they have to do is various rituals in order to obtain this ability to see into the spirit realm and to receive communication from it. And when they do that, they are literally inviting demon spirits, usually, you know, who knows how many, but anyway, demons to come into their life to what I call reestablish that link between their soul and spirit, to provide whatever is necessary in order that they can see and hear into the spirit realm. Therefore, everything that they see and hear from the spirit realm goes through a demon. That's the reason why witches don't see angels. If they did, they wouldn't stay witches very long.
Oh, okay.
So then how is it, this is the next important question, how is it then that demons can get into our lives, become active in our lives, to exert so much control over us?
That I'd like to know, yes.
Okay. Well, there's a very, very important principle in God's kingdom, and I call it the principle of legal ground. We need to just briefly remember the story in Joshua chapter 7. It's the story where God told the children of Israel that was they went into the promised land that they would win all of their battles under the condition that they obeyed God's commands. And the first city that they had to destroy was Jericho. And now Jericho was a huge city, and it had a much more powerful army than the children of Israel had. And Jericho was surrounded by a huge, tall wall. The wall was so tall and so thick that there were homes built right into the wall itself. And you may remember the children of Israel marched around Jericho 7 times, and then the walls came crashing down. Well, archaeology digs in Jericho have shown us that God literally, supernaturally, pushed those walls straight down into the ground, just like an elevator going down. And that the army then of Israel marched right into the city of Jericho and completely destroyed it. Well, that was an incredible victory. But what the children of Israel did not know is that out of that huge army, and I figured it up one time from the Old Testament, that was an army of more than 300,000 men. One man out of 300,000 disobeyed God's command because God had commanded the Israeli army to take no loot. Because you know normally when an army goes in, they just help themselves to whatever they want. Mm-hmm. One man, Achan, took loot from the city. Well, nobody knew about it. Joshua didn't know. The other soldiers didn't know. No one knew. But who knew? Well, God knew and Satan knew. And so then when they took on their next battle was a very small city by the name of Ai. In fact, it was so small they decided to simply send 3,600 of their best warriors to take it. There was no need to send the whole army. And those 3,600 warriors were completely defeated and a bunch of them were killed. Well, Joshua was just absolutely in shock. He could not understand. But then God spoke to Joshua and said that there was sin in the camp, that somebody had sinned, and because of that, they were doomed to defeat. And that is an absolute principle in God's word. If you disobey God's commands, if you sin, if you do wrong, and you're not forgiven and cleansed from it, then that gives demon spirits the legal right to become active in your life. So demons come into you one way only, and that's through sin. Now, not every little sin allows demons to come into your life. I believe, myself, that there are basically 3 categories of sin that brings demons into our lives. Number one being through inheritance. Okay. Demons are inherited. In fact, it's interesting, in the Asian religions and also in the American Indian religions and a number of pagan religions, the priests of those religions make out 2 different wills. One will is to indicate who is to get their physical goods upon the time of their death, their physical possessions. And the other will is to who is to get their spirits.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So inheritance is one way. Many people receive demon spirits through inheritance.
It isn't necessarily a sin that they're doing themselves. They inherit
no,
it.
No, it's the sins of the forefathers.
Okay.
You bet.
That's
now,
in the Bible.
God is not going to put us into hell for the sins of our forefathers, but it says that the iniquities will be visited onto the children even till the 4th generation. Well, what is iniquity? Iniquity is the consequences of sin. But the wonderful thing is Jesus Christ made the provision so that all of that can be wiped out of our lives. That's the wonderful thing.
That's the big message of Christianity. Mm-hmm. That sometimes we forget. Of course, if we don't believe in demons, we don't realize that facet, necessity of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and that's the reason why so many people have got terrible problems in their lives that they just never can solve. They never can gain the victory over. And it's because they don't know the source of their problems. Well, the second sin area that directly allows demons to be active in people's lives is sexual sin. Scripture says that when 2 people have sex, the 2 become one, and therefore demon spirits are free to pass from one person to another. So if you go out and you sin sexually and you have sexual relations with someone, every demon that's in their life, was in their life, is now in your life as well.
Wow, a conduit like between. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. The number one venereal disease is not AIDS, and it's not syphilis or gonorrhea. It's demons.
Oh, my.
And that's the reason why all down through the ages, all pagan religions in their temples have had temple prostitutes. Well, not only was that in order to make money for the temple, but it was because when people would go in and have sex with those prostitutes, either male or female, then they would receive demons from those particular prostitutes. They would then remain loyal to the god of that temple.
Okay.
It's just like in Japan, the geisha girls, you know, the Japanese beautiful young ladies whose faces are painted all white. They're called geisha girls, and they, Pacific society, and they provide favors for wealthy businessmen, and they're, in essence, prostitutes, but they're very, very skilled in using spirit.
Interesting.
And that's the reason why when businessmen go to Japan and they make use of the geisha girls, the business contracts all go in the favor of the Japanese.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Wow.
All right.
I think our listeners just went up. The meter just went up. People are tuning us in.
Okay. Yeah. Then the third area of sin that allows demon spirits to become very active and powerful in your life is any involvement in the occult whatsoever. That's any form of witchcraft, any form of pagan religion. And it's all around us. My goodness, one of the biggest recruiters into the occult has been the Harry Potter books.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, tell us more about this.
Well, the whole point of the Harry Potter books is to get kids fascinated with witchcraft. And it is the point of them is to literally change the conscience of our children. Because, you know, always prior to the Harry Potter books, witchcraft was shown in the Disney films and other films as being something evil.
Mm-hmm.
The Harry Potter films have come along, and they attempt to show that witchcraft is superior to anything else, and that it provides the answer to the children's problems. And then immediately on the heels of that has come the Twilight series.
Never heard of it.
Well, oh boy, where have you been? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but the Twilight series is a whole series of books and movies about vampires specifically aimed at teenagers. And the teenagers just have flocked to these things, and they love it. And the whole idea of becoming a vampire has become exceedingly popular, particularly in the youth. And let me tell you, vampirism is real. People get into it, and they drink blood. They drink human blood. They have all sorts of rituals that they go through. They ask specific spirits into their life in order to make them into vampires. And the lie is that they're going to gain eternal life, that they'll never die, and that they'll have all kinds of extra powers. And then there's all kinds of movies and series on television showing people with, quote, psychic abilities, and also teenagers involved in witchcraft. All of this is to recruit people, particularly our youth, into witchcraft and into the occult. And any involvement in that whatsoever is going to bring demon spirits into your life.
Okay, it offers them power and how to solve their problems, but there comes a day when the devil pulls their ticket then on that.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let's have a real good example of that. Satan is a terribly harsh taskmaster. You can see it very clearly if you go down to the Caribbean, to Haiti and the Dominican Republic. In the written constitution of the nation of Haiti, the legal ownership of the nation of Haiti is given to Jezebel, which is a very, very powerful demon spirit. I think actually it's Satan. So in the legal writings in the constitution of that country, the owner of that country is Satan, or they call her Jezebel. Their main language is French.
Okay.
Then
okay.
The Dominican Republic is a Christian nation, and interestingly, on their flag is a picture of the open Bible. Now, I have traveled down there many times, and when you come to the border between the Dominican Republic and Haiti, because you know both countries are on the same island in the Caribbean down there, on the Dominican Republic side, the ground is green and it's fertile, and there's all kinds of fruit trees and everything growing on the Dominican side. As soon as you literally cross the line into the Haitian nation, there's not one green thing. Everything is dead and brown.
Oh, my. Interesting.
Another one of these series that's very, very popular is The Secret Circle. And that's on TV, and that's very much a recruiting film. But anyway, back to Haiti. And what happened in that terrible earthquake? Hundreds of thousands of people were killed in Haiti. They're both on the same island, and the island is not that big, and the Dominican Republic never even got shaken. So Satan is a cruel taskmaster. And yes, he promises all kinds of powers and riches and fame and everything else, but in the end, the price is extremely high.
And he will exact his price then, you're saying?
Yes, he will.
What a dangerous thing. So you're saying that teenagers are getting conditioned to accept this as a source of something good for their life, or giving them power anyhow, pleasure, power?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's appealing.
You know, teenagers are looking for excitement.
Right.
You watch any of the films, there's a lot of films that have come out. One is The Sorcerer's Apprentice, very, very, very popular film. And it makes sorcery and witchcraft look exciting. Not on, you know, there's the power in it, but it brings excitement. And it's very normal for teenagers and young people to be looking for excitement. They want a thrill. They want a chill. They want excitement. And that's what it offers. It's just that the Satan's kingdom understands the desires of the youth. And
okay.
They also know that if they can recruit the youth, that then they've got them as adults. Because once you dabble in that stuff, I mean, and all you got to do is dabble in it. You don't have to really get involved. Very powerful demon spirits become active in your life, and then they have a terrible problem breaking free from that later on in life. And it leads them into greater and greater sexual immorality, and then into drugs, and then into utter destruction in their lives eventually.
And in that book, though, I learned so much what was going on in my life. As you fought those demons and human spirits and Satanists, I learned that some of the language, I was able to identify what was going on. And so you took the hard road for us, that the road of learning the lessons, and you wrote it in a book, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We learned maybe what not to do.
Yes, and you know, I have asked the Lord since then, should I go back and rewrite that book? And he said no, because what you were experiencing then is what so many people are experiencing currently today.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know that they're not alone. I think one of the most frequent comments that I get from people that have read He Came to Set the Captives Free is, at last, there's somebody else that won't think I'm crazy.
That's right.
I hear that constantly, all the time. And the other thing that I hear continually from people that have read that book is, once I realized the reality of Satan and his kingdom, the reality of God and his kingdom really became real to me in a fresh and a new way.
I consider that book pivotal in understanding demons and spirits. You know, you can't read that exact account in the Bible. You can skirt on those issues a little bit, but it's not explained. It's not laid out in a way that your book does it. I believe it's right from God's desire that you would do that. Mm-hmm. Go through that.
And understand, too, you know, I was operating from a position of complete ignorance. There weren't any books available. This was back in 1979, 1980. All the writing on spiritual warfare that's available today was simply not available back then.
No.
And I had no one to help me except the Lord. I was completely on my own, and so I learned, quite frankly, in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, yes, you did. And you took the knocks for us, though, I think. Yeah, you laid out a ministry that will forever benefit us.
Yes, and now that's why, you know, I shared this in my book, Becoming a Vessel of Honor. What I've just been sharing right now about deliverance is in that book. I had learned it by then, and I'm getting ready to put out a little booklet strictly on deliverance. But, you know, I've learned a better way, a more scriptural way, and a much easier way. Mm-hmm. You can spend hours and hours fighting with demons if you want to, but let me tell you what, when you get older, you're really looking for an easier way to do things.
Of course, you've faced quite a few battles since then, too. You've taken
well,
on...
I have, yes, but it's been in a whole different level.
Okay.
I no longer have the physicality of it that I did back then because... You know, but you're always learning. I'm still learning. I'll never stop learning. I'll be a student all the rest of my days here on Earth and throughout all of eternity.
And that's a good confession because we should be in a learning state, right? Mm-hmm. That's a healthy state to be in. And, you know, as you were saying, I've found this is one Christian principle that I've really enjoyed, and I've really enjoyed Christianity so much more when I found out that you can be wrong. You know, if your heart's right, but you're wrong, you know what? You're going to make it through.
Yes, the Lord is going to bring you back to the right way. He's very gracious that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm not telling people to go do something wrong. It's you can make a lot of honest mistakes. And you know what? It's not the end. God wants you to learn. He's trying to teach you. You're in a process of learning.
And that's another wonderful thing about Christianity, Jim. That's because God values individuals. He creates each one of us completely different.
That's right. We got a few more minutes on the program, and we've been talking about deliverance, something so necessary today as our country gets more and more involved in accepting the occultic and demonic. More and more people, I think, are going to need to hear that word deliverance.
Yeah, there isn't. Well, truthfully, unless you were born into a multi-generational family of Christians who have walked really clean lives, everybody is going to need deliverance to a certain extent, more mm-hmm. or less. And this is the thing that's going to set you free for the Holy Spirit to work into your life. You'll just be amazed at the changes that'll come through in your relationship with the Lord as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm not too sure I need deliverance. Here's some indicators to me that you might need deliverance. This is to me. You're depressed. Things keep on turning out wrong. You can't seem to pray. You can't seem to get into the Bible. You're agitated. You're confused. All these things are a good indicator that something is blocking, something is binding you, and you need set free.
And here's another couple. I so frequently have people say, you know, I accepted Christ and I was all on fire for the Lord. I loved going to church. I loved reading the Bible. I loved praying. I talked to God. God spoke to me. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody turned out the light. Mm-hmm. I hear this over and over and over again. Somebody turned out the light and I don't hear from God anymore. I don't get anything out of reading the Bible. I don't have any desire to pray. I don't have any desire to go to church. I don't have any relationship with God anymore, and I don't know why. I hear this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classic example of someone with an uncleansed life. They accepted Christ, and they've been serving God, but they never took the time to specifically cleanse their life the way that I've been talking about. And the way that Scripture commands us to. And if you've never taken the time to sit down and pray and ask the Lord to bring to your memory every sin you've committed that you haven't dealt with, that you haven't confessed and asked for forgiveness for, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. Father, I just lift up to you every person that's listening to this radio program right now. I am asking, Lord, that you will draw each and every one to Jesus. I pray that you will open their eyes to the reality of Jesus, to their need for a Savior, Lord. I pray that you will bring people into their lives who can share with them their need for Jesus and help them to understand that the only power available to us human beings that is greater than these powers of darkness comes through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray earnestly that you will work in the lives of every person listening. Show these people your love, Lord. Show them that you are a God of love and that you love them and that you want to help them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.